Get deeper insights on the news from inside sources.
Well, a new study from the Sutherland Institute says the majority of Utah voters would support making curriculum for Utah's K through 12 students accessible to the public. And that curriculum transparency has been shown to boost parent and student engagement, as well as heighten teacher awareness of the material. But is stacking another task on top of our educators' already full plates, is that reasonable? Is that rational? Is that doable, sustainable? Those are all the things we want to get to. And what is it that's going to make it worth it for our educators to keep moving forward? And someone who understands this better than anybody I know, who looks beyond just the numbers of these things and really looks at the impact, is Christine Cooks Fairbanks, who is the Education Policy Fellow at the Sutherland Institute. Her research focuses on education pluralism and parent-driven education. And Christine, welcome back to the show.
Boyd, thank you for having me.
So let's get into this transparency thing. I thought the study was so fascinating in terms of what matters and then that critical balance in terms of what that does for the students and the parents and then what it can do and the challenge it can be for educators.
Yeah, so you're exactly right. It showed that the majority of likely voters in Utah support the idea of having instructional materials or curriculum accessible to parents and the public. What was also interesting is that it showed different policies of how to get at that. And most respondents support rewarding teachers for choosing to make their curriculum transparent. Fewer supported mandating that requirement on educators. So that sort of suggests that Utah voters know it's important. They believe teachers have a key role, but they're also sensitive to how it might impact them in their profession if we mandate it rather than find other ways to kind of get that for parents.
Yeah, I thought that was so fascinating that Utahns in particular get it, rather than just mandating one more thing on our already overloaded teachers, if we incentivize it or we create a path or a process that works, that's actually going to get us the better result, which is what everybody should be after.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. I mean, in this discussion of curriculum transparency, there's obviously been concern over the workload and the burden on teachers, which is a totally legitimate concern, something that, you know, we need to talk about. And if we fail to get that piece right for teachers, I think we'll fail to get this policy right in general. So there are some ways, you know, in policy terms or policy speak, you know, carrots versus sticks. And so some teachers will say, hey, I'm already doing this. I'm already trying to be transparent. That's fantastic. So, you know, a possible policy lever is to have stipends for teachers that are willing to go the extra mile and create some sort of online syllabus version of their curriculum that would pay those who are already taking the time to do that. But as you said, you know, it might be an incentive for more teachers to do it as well, which would be a win because curriculum transparency has a number of benefits for all types of stakeholders in education as well.
Yeah, no question. You had a great piece at Deseret.com last week that a couple of things jumped out to me, and one in particular that I'd love to have you unpack for us a little bit, and that is one of the studies that showed the impact on students, that their confidence, their sense of belonging is impacted by that transparency as well. What did you find out in that space?
Yeah, so it is really interesting to look at how transparency impacts students. And so, and this was in the higher ed space, but when they had access to curriculum prior to the term, they had an increased sense of confidence, sense of belonging, understanding of the skills that were needed for employment. And specifically, you saw larger gains for first generation, low income, or underrepresented students. So that's a really key takeaway that, you know, putting more context, more information out there for all types of students really does give them the confidence and the information to do well in their schooling.
Yeah, I think that's so important. Again, that confidence is everything, that sense of belonging, and just knowing what's ahead of them, I think it is so important to that. Talk to us a little bit about how we navigate this, obviously in a social media world where, you know, what is in a curriculum or what a child brings home or what a child says, you know, was asked on an assignment, can suddenly be fodder for a social media moment or some, you know, big angry rant by somebody. How do we balance all of that in terms of the incentives for teachers to do that without feeling like they're going to be attacked or bombarded, but creating that space so we can have the right conversations to get to the right results?
Yeah, so that's such a key question because the curriculum transparency discussion has really lived in this space of controversies and how do we prevent controversies, and you know, we don't want to have teachers that are indoctrinating students, and you know, that discussion is valuable and legitimate as well. But there are other reasons that teachers might find it beneficial to be more transparent about what they're teaching. I mean, on the one hand, rather than potentially blindsiding a parent, which always leads to worse scenarios, being upfront about what you're teaching, give them the opportunity to vet that upfront or ask questions. And so there's been some data that showed that's a potential benefit. You know, there's others that say that it helps teachers in their professional development. Mm. So if the materials are universally accessible online, other teachers can learn from it. They can collaborate one with another, you know, by just seeing what other teachers are using. And then additionally, it has pushed some teachers to more carefully examine and align activities with their assignments, the assessments, the learning outcomes. So all of that's a win. So if we can sort of create an expectation where curriculum transparency isn't just about smoking out these bad actors, but pushing people towards the best sort of pedagogy or partnership with students and parents, that is what the gold standard would be.
Yeah, I love that. I think that is, we have to keep the focus on the right thing, and I think that is the right thing. Are there any good models out there in your research and your studies, Christine, in terms of states or school districts that are getting this right or are doing some things that are unique that are leading towards those better outcomes?
You know, it's actually sort of a newer area. So, you know, there's like West Virginia will have an online syllabus type of a requirement for teachers. And I think the issue there is that it's more of a mandate versus sort of an incentive. So this idea is really something that we're playing with in the Utah space. You mentioned earlier that Utahns seem to get this. And I think it's because we live in this policy world where we're able to say, hey, we can do this and this. It doesn't have to be teachers versus parents or, you know, controversies versus these other things. It can be all of it, right? That curriculum transparency has all these benefits. We can work within the system. We can include and bring teachers into this conversation as well. So really this idea, you know, is something that hopefully we can be a trailblazer on.
Yeah, no question. One more opportunity for the Utah model to be sent out across the country. We like that. Give us one last thing, Christine, that you're keeping your eye on as this kind of develops and becomes more, hopefully more of a trend and something that gets traction and, again, gets to those results we actually want for our students.
Yeah, I hope that these sorts of research surveys or discussions start to kind of bleed into the conversation that, excuse me, we stay away from the teachers versus parents rhetoric that is so rampant across the country. I think we can rise above that, do better, and continue to infuse the conversation with these sorts of studies and data that actually show that it has broad impacts for all education stakeholders. And I think we're going to get closer to the right answer if we do that.
No question. Christine Cook Fairbanks, Education Policy Fellow at the Sutherland Institute. Nobody gets this better than Christine. Thanks so much for joining us today. Great piece at Deseret.com, and we'll look forward to having you back soon to continue this and conversation. It's not either or. It's not this versus that. We're all in this together when it comes to educating the future generations. And Christine, thanks for leading these crucial conversations for us.
Thanks so much, Boyd.
All right, again, that's Christine Cook Fairbanks, Education Policy Fellow at the Southern Institute. And I love the way Christine goes about her research. It is fact-based, evidence-based, and it's always looking for where do we get to the better result. And so let's get out of all of this us, them. Let's get out of the hyperbolic stuff. Let's get out of the polarization stuff, and let's ask the better questions. And so on this particular issue, when it comes to transparency, there's a good path to that. Where it can give students more confidence, more sense of belonging, more clarity in terms of expectations and what skills they need to develop. It gives parents more confidence in the process. And I think it fosters better communication and understanding between educators and parents. Those are all good things. This doesn't have to be the battle that we often hear about across the country. And as Christine Cook Fairbanks pointed out to us, this is another chance for Utah to actually lead with some good public policy. All right, we'll step aside for some bottom of the hour news. More Inside Sources coming up next on KSL News Radio. Stick around.